So this ordinance, the Community Safety Act, comes at a time when race and police conduct are all part of a national conversation. In Providence, we've seen a local poet, a Black man named Christopher Johnson, come forward with his story of being wrongly stopped one night and arrested when he was on his way home. He says the officer roughed him up a little and lied about what happened during the arrest. At the same time, Providence police have for some years now embraced community policing, and they say they're working toward a more diverse police force. What are advocates saying about the need for this ordinance?
Well, the group that drafted the ordinance includes a variety of organizations that work with minority groups, young people, people of color. They work in some of the city's poorer neighborhoods, places where some residents say they feel unfairly targeted by police. Many of the advocates are students and adults who maintain they're regularly stopped, harassed, and sometimes photographed by city police. This is all anecdotal for the most part, but these personal stories were front and center during the first public hearing on this measure last week.
So, John, what specifically would this ordinance do?
Well, there are essentially 12 major items in the proposal, but the biggest focus is to prohibit racial profiling, or really any profiling or discrimination by police. Of course, racial profiling is already against the law and the Providence Police Code of Conduct, but this ordinance would take some extra steps. For example, it defines profiling more specifically, using terms like color, national origin, ethnicity, and sexual orientation, where right now the Police Code of Conduct says only that police will perform their duties impartially without regard for race, status, or sex. Vanessa Flores Maldonado is the spokeswoman for the Step Up Network, which is organizing this campaign. She feels a broader definition for profiling would make a difference.
It's not semantics, because I want to make sure that everyone in my neighborhood is protected. Everyone in my community is protected. And it is important that we outline that. I think the more expansive we are, the more we're like, okay, we're making sure we're covering as many people as possible.
What are some of the other changes advocates are asking police to make?
It outlines some specific guidelines for documenting stops, like filling out what's being called a standardized encounter form. This, again, is something that already exists in state law, but it applies specifically to traffic stops. Advocates want to expand it to all stops, like pedestrian stops. And they want Providence Police to start using video, like police body cameras or dashboard cameras, to officially record those stops.
This ordinance was first proposed about 2 years ago in 2014, and it never moved forward. That was before Mayor Jorge Elorza took office. So, John, what is the mayor's position on this ordinance?
The mayor's office is being pretty tight-lipped right now. The mayor's spokeswoman, Emily Crowell, said Elorza would wait to weigh in until after that public hearing. He has since offered very tepid remarks, saying that they are going to listen through all the testimony given at that public hearing and offer some formal language in the coming weeks, answering some of the advocates' calls for action.
And what about Providence Police? In the past, they've raised some pretty serious concerns about some aspects of this ordinance.
Well, they too are taking a careful approach in terms of what they're saying publicly. They have been meeting with this Step Up Network, and this is what Providence Police Chief Hugh Clemens says about it.
There continue to be conversations between myself, the commissioner, the mayor's office, the city council, proponents of the CSA on a daily basis as to how we can craft language to benefit the needs of the community that are acceptable in our mode of operation and policing.
What he's referring to there is that in 2014, when this was first proposed, Providence's public safety commissioner told the Providence Journal it could severely hamper police work, and there are several items that seem like they would be very difficult for police to agree to. The first involves the gang database. This is a list used by the Providence Police to keep track of people who may be involved in gangs. It's existed since at least 2004, when a department memo said there were some 500 people in the database. The CSA would require police to inform anyone listed that they're part of this database, explain why they're included, and provide a process to appeal the designation.
So what's the concern for police about that?
Well, in 2014, police said that could have a chilling effect on their ability to effectively investigate gang activity, especially if they are trying to avoid tipping off a person who's under investigation, for instance. Another area of concern in this ordinance involves the power of the Providence External Review Board. Now, this is a board that already exists to deal with allegations of police misconduct. The CSA would allow the board to make recommendations to move money out of the police budget for violations of the CSA. It would also allow the board to review police labor contracts.
John, what's the next step for this ordinance? Are we likely to see some kind of compromise with law enforcement?
Well, the advocate I spoke to, Vanessa Flores Maldonado, said no. However, I spoke with another advocate, Hillary Davis, from the American Civil Liberties Union here in Rhode Island. They're supporting the act, and Davis sounded more open to compromise.
What about the Providence City Council? Are members supportive of the CSA?
It's a little unclear where the city councilors will go with this. As with any proposed ordinance, it would need at least 8 of the city's 15 councilors to vote in favor of the measure to pass.
Well, John, thanks for following this issue. We'll check back in to see how it's going.
Thank you, Liz.